What a blessing it's been already for me today to be here and once again gather at this little church, this little Bethel spot, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and join together in songs that honor and praise God, lift up our voices to give Him the glory and the honor that's due His name. And as we express the needs of our congregation and those that we are aware of, we know there are so many others that we don't know anything about, and we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but we look to the Lord and we pray in His name, recognizing that it is He who carries our petitions from our voices to heaven to be heard of the Father. Our Savior sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, and it's the Spirit of God who gives us that unction in our hearts even to pray. And so we have so very much to be thankful for today, that we have a Father who is in heaven to pray to, that we can go to Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and lay our petitions before Him, and that even when we don't know what to ask for, the Lord moves by the Spirit of God in our hearts to give us that heart to pray and that desire to pray and the ability to pray. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll find the deliverance that we stand in need of, and whatever that might be. We can't embrace that without faith, given to us by Almighty God, to be able to know things, to understand things that are not seen by the natural eye or heard or understood by the heart of man, heard by the natural ear. It takes the Lord to do that. And that expression of faith, I believe, is pleasing to our God. And we could not even do that were not for the first work of God in our lives. It is He who has quickened us. It is He who has made us alive. It's He who has given us faith to be able to embrace Him and believe on Him and trust in Him. And it is in Him that we're trusting and depending upon. If we trust anywhere else, we're just trusting in shifting sand that really... if our house is built on that, it'll be a mighty, the bigger the house, the bigger the fall. But when we build our house on the Lord and on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured that when the storms come and the rains come and the winds blow, our house will stand. And I just pray the Lord will bless us to share together some thoughts from His Word this afternoon. Well, we've already sung a lot of good stuff. And we've the truth that we've declared in song has really been the gospel. The truth of His coming, that the Lord came here into this world. And the angels lifted up their voices in praise to Almighty God. And that little babe that was born in a manger was indeed the Son of God. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was born the King of the Jews. He wasn't born and grow up to be something. He from the very beginning of His life, from the very His very conception, was of the Holy Spirit. And He was not beginning there just when He was born, but He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he came for a purpose. And He accomplished the purpose for which He came. And that was to save His people from their sins. And that's what we want to teach. That's what we want to preach today. From whatever passage we go to, the subject matter, I hope, is going to be the same. That is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and what that accomplished for God's people. The verse that's on my mind this afternoon, it's kind of changed about three or four times coming down the road. Trust is of the Lord. I'd like to read to you from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to begin reading at verse 6 of 1 Peter, chapter 5. And we'll read down to the 11th verse, if not a little farther. But 1 Peter chapter 5, we read here, as the Apostle Peter wrote by inspiration of God, beginning at verse 6. He says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that last verse I read in your hearing really is why we're here on planet Earth, why we exist. It is for the glory and the praise of Almighty God. If we can get that part straight, we'll have a much clearer understanding of what the Bible teaches and what the truth is. To understand that our very existence, the very reason we were made, the reason God created us, the reason we're here physically, and especially the reason we're here spiritually, is that we have been created by Almighty God to bring glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. That's our purpose for existence. If we miss that, we miss our very purpose for being made. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. All the praise and the glory belongs to him, and all power comes from him. He is the power source. He is the one from whom all power flows. He is the much of the ideas and the thoughts of the world is that the energy that we get on our planet comes from the sun. And as the sun burns, it loses power. And I love to think about the one who lit up the sun, the one who made the sun, who has the power. He is the power source of the sun. And as he uses and exercises his power, he doesn't lose power. The sun loses its power as it gives up its energy. It has less energy, but not the Lord. He is the power source. He's the one who is the source of all. All dominion is his. All power is his. All power belongs to him. And when he exercises his power, he still has as much power as he had before. When he shows love to one of his children, he still has as much love as he had before he shows that love. When he has mercy, his mercy is everlasting. He is the source of all mercy. When he gives grace, he has an inexhaustible supply of grace. He is the source. You know, we are given things. When we use them, we don't have them anymore, and there's an end to the what we can do, and we are limited, but not with God. God is God, and he has all power. I can't understand all about that, but I sure like saying it. I like telling God's little children today that the God that you serve is the God of all power. He's the God of all love. He's the God of all mercy. He's a God of righteous judgment. He is a God in all his ways. He is perfect. And he is God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. The God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And thanks be to God for that wonderful truth. And we today should come, and what is our main focus, or what is it we should be most concerned about in our lives, not only today, this moment, but all the way through our life. Verse 6 says, to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We are to recognize God's God. And we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You can't be bigoted and be humble. You can't be high-minded and be humble. You can't be thinking you're it and be humble. In order to be humbled, it takes Almighty God to humble you. First, you have to give a heart. You have to be given a heart that's humbled. You have to have a heart operation. You have to have the work of Almighty God, where a hard and stony heart is removed. That heart is not humble. And you're given a heart of flesh. That's a heart that's humble before God. I can't give you that heart. I can't preach that heart into you. I can't cause you to have that heart. That takes a work of Almighty God. You must be born again. You must be born from above, where a hard and stony heart is taken away and you're given a heart of flesh. The wicked through the pride of his countenance, he's prideful, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And so before you can humble yourself before under the mighty hand of God, you have to be given an awareness of the reality that is the truth, and that is, God is God and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. And don't a whole lot of our troubles come because we start acting like we're God and he's not? Or we start thinking we have the power and he doesn't? Or we want to get it fixed rather than turn it over him to fix it? Or we want to straighten it out? Or we think it's not just right what I'm going through, not just the way it ought to be, not the circumstances are unfair. God, we get that feeling. And in the old flesh, we have to fight that old man, put that old man under subjection. And remember, God is God. And if he's God, and he and the Bible says very clearly that he has loved us with an unconditional, everlasting love. He's told us in his word that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you read the 91st Psalm and read it from beginning to end, you'll find out that God has a watch care over his children as they walk in his ways. They delight in his fellowship. They are under the protection of his wings, under the mighty hand of Almighty God. His angels are given charge over them, and unless they would in any way whatsoever harm themselves, and that is in all the ways the Lord will lead us. So if we do what the Lord says, it's going to be all right. As a matter of fact, if we're doing what the Lord says, whether we understand it, whether we recognize it, whether we feel like it, whether whatever it is, when we trust in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37. I'm not getting that verse, and I want it. Psalm 37. He says this in Psalm 37. We're getting there. Needed to slow down a little bit anyway. Psalm 37. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Isn't that wonderful? Trust in the Lord and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, that wasn't just a promise for the brethren in the Old Testament. That's a promise for you and I today. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land and be fed. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Now, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we are acknowledging that God is God and He has all power. And therefore, I'm going to trust Him for whatever comes. As I walk in my life, I'm going to lean. It doesn't mean if you get lazy and don't do anything. It doesn't give you any reason not to be about your Father's business, to be diligent, to be serving the Lord. It isn't like God's going to take care of it so I don't have to do anything. God has told us many things that we ought to do in His Word, but we must recognize that the outcome, when we do whatever God has told us to do, the outcome belongs to the Lord. And when we do what God has told us to do in His Word, and we follow what is written in His Word, we can trust in the Lord, and in doing that we do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and so shalt thou be fed. The Lord, the God will take care of you. We could just sing that hymn. That would sum it up. God will be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. And I say to you, as I think about my own life, has God not proven that to each and every one of us over and over and over again already in our lives? How many times and how many ways has God taken care of? And what a mighty God it is that we look to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And as we do that, there's a great promise here that He may exalt you in due time. That means when you cast down, hang in there. The Lord will lift you up. When you feel low, when I'm low, you look to the Lord. He will lift you up. The Lord will supply that which you need. The Lord will. Sometimes He takes us out of the trouble. Sometimes He carries us through the trouble. Sometimes He can stand as He did that day with the sea that's being tossed. And the disciples were in such despair, saying, the Lord, do you not care? The storm has come, and do you not care that we perish? And He is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they seemingly think, because they see what they see, they think, well, He's not in control. He was in control all the time. As a matter of fact, the reason they were on the ship is because he said, get in the ship and go to the other side. They were in obedience to his commandments. The storm came not so that God just wanted to mess with them or play with them. God was going to teach them, and does in our lives. Teaches us lessons at times. In the midst of the storm, there was a storm that blew. I'll tell you what, we left Summer Dock. It was 67 degrees, and by the time we got here to Front Royal, it was 46 degrees, and we watched that thermometer come down as we traveled on. I thought, well, boy, if it keeps going another 10 degrees, I don't know whether we're going to have meeting or not. It just kept coming down. I'm telling you, there is a God who's in control. There is a God who can cause it one day to have freezing rain and on the road, and the next day it'd be at 67 degrees. And you sit there, how in the world does that happen? And I know people explain it in so many ways. I'm going to tell you, there was a Lord that stood at a stormy sea, who had walked on the water and did walk on the water on another occasion, but he stood at that stormy sea and he said, peace be still. And I'm telling you, every molecule of water in that sea obeyed the voice of this God. And that sea became still. I believe that was a still sea. Don't you? I believe it was. I believe it was. And he taught his disciples, trust him. Trust in the Lord and do good. Today, where are we? We mentioned so many things that could cause us. And the old devil would attack us. And he warns us about that here. With all those ideas and thoughts that God really, I know he said he'd take care of you, but the question is, are you really his child? That's one thing he'll question you with. And then he'll come and say, is he really taking care of you? And if you are his child, why are you going through this? Why are you facing this? And then, is he able to take care of you? Can he do that? And then he'd have us presume sometimes that we can do anything and everything will be all right. And that's another lie. And then he'll just come straight out and say, if you'll follow me, I'll take care of it and you don't need to follow the Lord. He attacks us in various ways. We'll see that when he came to the Lord. The Lord, right after his baptism, went through the temptation that the devil presented to him. And I often have thought, why did the Lord even have anything? Why did he allow the devil to tempt him at all? Why did he do that? Well, there's an answer to that too. You see, Jesus had to be made like unto his brethren. He had to suffer every affliction, every temptation. He is a high priest that can be touched. The scripture says he cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But the Hebrew letter says he's a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And for Jesus to be the perfect Savior that he was, he not only had to be born as he was of a virgin, he had to be the God with us, he had to be a perfect man, he had to be the Son of God and yet the Son of Man, and he had to go through everything that he did. I don't believe there was a single step Jesus ever took in his life that was just for happenstance sake. I believe every step was purposeful. I believe if he went somewhere, there was a reason to be there. If he said something, there was a reason to say it. If he kept his mouth shut, there was a reason to be silent. I believe every thought that he had, every action that he did, every behavior, everything about him, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, was absolutely, completely perfect. If he had been in one degree limited, or one degree not perfect, then the sacrifice he offered would not have been acceptable unto the Father. The only righteousness that will get me into heaven and you into heaven, the only righteousness that will allow our weak voices to be heard in heaven, the only righteousness that would allow our prayers to be heard, the only righteousness that allows us to hug one another's neck and call one another brother and sister, is that which is given to us by Almighty God. And if we ever start thinking in some other way that I'm good enough, well, we haven't humbled ourselves before the mighty, as he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Jesus suffered those temptations of the devil not because he needed it. It was because we needed it. We needed salvation. And so he suffered the devil to tempt him. I think how foolish the devil sounded when he stood there before the Lord and he said, if thou be the Son of God. He does that to us, doesn't he? If you are really a child of God, if you really belong to him, The devil's tricks have been made evident. Jesus, even in allowing that, taught us some lessons about how the devil attacks us. If thou be the Son of God. He said that the second time. If thou be the Son of God. Do you think the devil didn't know he was the Son of God? I'm telling you what, the devil knew exactly who he was. The devils believe and they tremble because they recognize he has more power than we have. And the devil act like he was in control and had all the power. Remember this, the devils that were in the wild Gadarene had to ask permission to go into a herd of swine and go over into the sea and be drowned. They had to ask God's permission to do that. So they don't just have, they act like they're in control. They tell you, the devil himself will tell you, I'm in control. He'll even disguise himself as an angel of light. He may come quoting scripture because he did that to the Lord as well. The only thing is he leaves out verses and leaves out parts of it. He gives you part of the truth but not the whole truth. And then sometimes he just presents himself as a complete liar. We need to be aware that that adversary would have us exalt ourselves so that we'd miss the exaltation that comes from Almighty God. We're not talking about our eternal home. We're talking about God's little children remembering who it is that is our help, that is our strength, that is our light, that is our bread. And we think we're doing this in order to make our way in this world. If God didn't bless our labors, we could work all day long and all night long and not get a thing done. Just like when they said we're going a fishing, and they went out and fished all night long, and they said, "Do you have any fishes?" He said, "No, we've labored hard, but we caught nothing." And I'm telling you, the Lord can cause your labor to be a waste. He can also bless your labors with, and He can supply that when you haven't labored, if it is His will to do that. What does that mean? That means whatever comes, I can trust the Lord. I should use the means that God has directed me to use in bringing about the things that He's told me to do. But when it comes down to it, I am to make my living by the sweat of my face. But I have to trust the Lord to bless my labors and my living, to bless me with the home that I live in, to bless me with my family, to bless me with the food on my table, to bless me with the clothes on my back. And I need to trust in the Lord. And the Lord can provide from places I've never even thought of, if it's His will to do that. And I surely don't want to be following the devil and his direction on how to get it done, because he's a liar and would lead me down a path that would cause me to cease to do what God purposed me to do, and that's to give Him glory. If we miss giving Him glory this afternoon, this has been a wasted meeting. If we sang for anybody's glory this afternoon other than the Lord's, it's been wasted singing. I don't care how pretty it was or how wonderful it was. And it was pretty. I enjoyed the singing. But I'm saying to you, that would be of no benefit if it isn't ultimately for the glory and the praise of Almighty God. And we have to examine ourselves while we're doing that to be sure, is that what I'm singing for? Is that who I'm singing to? And as a matter of fact, that's true not only of praying. It's true of praying. It's true of preaching. It's true when we hug one another's neck. When you speak a word of encouragement to a brother, to a sister, to a family member. Ultimately, it's for the glory of Almighty God. And it pleases God when His little children are helped along the way. When we can provide a cup of cold water to one of His children. What did He say? To do that is like what? To do, and as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. That's true of offenses as well as the good things. That means the way we treat one another is really important. That's why it's a fearful thing for us to stand before God's people and come with the Word of God, because God forbid that I would offend one of God's little children with a misstatement that is not the truth. I am to preach the Word. I am to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And He says to humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And it's just a delight to be able to trust in the Lord by His grace. And whether we're in one of those hard and difficult times or have been delivered out of it, can you look at your life and see how it's been just a road of hills and valleys? Been some high times that you were just up so high you thought, I never could come, never will come down. And then there's been some deep valleys where you think, am I going to ever get out of this? You know, the world is full of those hills and valleys God's little children go through them. Here's the good news. On the mountaintop, he is that wonderful bright, that beautiful scene we see on the mountaintop. He is our everything on the top of the mountain, but he is also the lily of the valley. He is there for us whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley. So wherever you are, humble yourselves. Under the mighty hand of God. That's why it's important every meeting to talk about how great God is. Every day, talk about how great God is. Look, I am nothing, but I am poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. But my God has all the riches that I need. My God has all the righteousness that I need. My God is my health. My God is my strength. My God is my light. And not because of me, but because of what Jesus has done. By His grace, I have it. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I've come to many a meeting kind of low and kind of down. I've come at times to the Lord in prayer, mighty low and mighty down, and just have Him fill my heart and my soul with peace, where I didn't even know how it was going to be okay, but I knew it was going to be okay. God, because He is God, and He's a mighty God. And by faith, I can embrace that. Now, the reality of this world, the natural mind won't embrace that, won't have it, but I'm telling you, just like that 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can be satisfied with the will of God in our lives, knowing that we cast all our cares upon Him. Now, the 19th verse of the 4th chapter really says it. The 19th verse of the 4th chapter of 1 Peter. He says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. That means when you turn it over to the Lord and you're doing... Now, if you're not doing what you ought to do, then there should be repentance and we should turn from that and go another way. But if we're doing what God would have us to do and it's in well-doing, we turn and we're still suffering. Do God's children sometimes suffer in the midst of well-doing? The Bible says not only sometimes, it says any of you that will live godly in Christ Jesus, He says you will suffer persecution. That is part of the fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with Him, not only in His glory, but in His suffering. And we have some understanding, not to the degree He suffered, but we have some understanding of His suffering. And when we are in the midst of that, let them that suffer, whether we're going through chastisement or whether we're going through temptation or whatever it might be, when it's according to the will of God, we're to commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. That means I'm not to try to fix it or to handle it myself, but rather to humble myself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And verse 7, I just wish I could do it better. I love reading it. I love to preach about it and talk about it. But I'll tell you, the blessing in this verse is in the doing of it. He says, casting all your care upon Him. And sometimes we cast it and we reel it right back in, don't we? We throw it out, but we wind it right back in. He says, cast all your care upon Him. How much of your care? All of it. To turn it over to the Lord. God's little children are many times walking through this world all stooped over, all bowed down, because they're trying to handle things that they cannot handle and trying to do things by their own power and by their own might that they cannot do. A preacher can't preach by his own power and by his own might. It takes the blessing of Almighty God, and he's going to be mighty bowed over if he's trying to do that. And you can't worship in a church service the way you ought to, pleasing to God, when you're trusting in yourself to be able to do it. So we come trusting in the Lord. Lord, give me the strength that I need, the wisdom that I need. That's why we pray, Lord, bless our meetings. Lord, don't let me just sit on the bench today and miss everything that's going on. Lord, don't let me miss Thy presence. I know that He's with us. The Word says He's with us. I should feel that He's with us. I should feel every meeting He's with me here in this pulpit, because indeed He is. How do we know that? Because He's everywhere present and He's nowhere absent. He's with you. He's with our loved ones. He's with... we can depend on that. And we should trust in that. He said, cast all your care upon Him. And here's the wonderful part of this. For He cared for you. I want to say to you today, the Lord cared so much for you that before the very foundation of the world, you were in His heart and in His mind. He made choice of you. He knew who you were. And God the Father loved you. He foreknew you. He loved you. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He loved you that much that He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. To get that done, He sent the bright star of heaven. He sent the only one who could do what Jesus did was Jesus. No one else could have done what Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus, the Son of Man, did. No one else could do that. There was a search in heaven in Revelation 5 where they sought to find someone who was worthy to open the book and look therein, to open the seals thereof. And John wept much because he saw there was none. And then the voice came, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Behold, there was a declaration of the Lamb of God. And there, Jesus Christ is the only one that could have come. He said, even in His prayer, He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. What Jesus was saying was it was impossible for anyone else or anything else to have taken away our sin. And that meant Jesus had to go to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was part of His walk here in this world. And when the devil confronted Him, and he said, if Thou be the Son of God, you make these stones bread. And I thought to myself when he said that, how easy Jesus could have made the stones bread. Listen, Jesus was there when manna rained from heaven. Do y'all believe manna rained from heaven? A lot of people don't believe that. I believe exactly what it says. I believe manna. I believe the Lord fed His children in the wilderness with manna from heaven. I believe all the miraculous things about that manna. I believe they got enough, just enough that they needed. Isn't that wonderful? When God gives you, He gives you just enough. And man wanted, well, they got the manna. What did they want to do? Well, we're going to store that up. Keep a little extra. Isn't that man? There He gave them just what they needed. And when they tried to, you gather just what you need. For every man, just what you need. Gather that for your household. Everyone got that. He gave them just enough manna for everything that they needed. And for 6 days He did that. And then when it came time for the seventh day, they weren't together any manna, so He gave them enough on that day for the next day. Now every other day, if they tried to store it up, the worms came in it and it spoiled. They tried to get that blessing. You and I want tomorrow's blessing? Before tomorrow comes, we're often looking for tomorrow's blessing. Number one, we don't even know tomorrow's coming. He said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow." And that means we're to live today how? Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. God's in control. Boy, this has just relieved you of so many burdens and so much. You know, it's better than any pill that you could take to relieve you of your stress and all the things that so many times God's children are trying to alleviate in their lives. Just trusting in the Lord. How much? Each day. Day by day. Really, hour by hour. Moment by moment. And that's staying close to the Lord. Humbling yourselves. Recognizing God's in control. I don't know how this is going to work out. But God's in control. And it doesn't mean we don't do anything. Because that's another temptation. That He came to Jesus and just cast yourself off the temple. And you know, the angels will gather you up. That God will take care of you no matter what you do. That's what He was trying to say. And the old devil comes with us at sometimes. That's why men will grab snakes sometimes and handle them as if, well, that's okay to do. And if, you know, God will keep me from being bit and that kind of thing. What did Jesus say to him? "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We don't tempt the Lord. We're to use the judgment and the wisdom God has given us. But yet, we're to ultimately trust the outcome to the Lord. Listen, the Lord can provide us a table in the wilderness. He has provided us a table in the wilderness. I believe we're in the wilderness of this world. I believe He's given us a little table right here in His church where we come in and share the spiritual word that's like the manna that came down from on high. And He gives it to us day by day, hour by hour, as we need it. And, you know, and we should never. They got tired of that manna. You would think you'd never get tired of the food God gives you. But that's God's people. They got tired of the manna. And they said, "Well, we want some meat." So He gave them some meat. Buddy, I mean, they got some meat. They got more meat than they wanted to see. They got so much meat they couldn't hardly walk around because, you know, I've shoveled some snow. They were shoveling quail because there was a whole lot of quail that fell when they complained about God. Can God's children complain about the Lord? Yeah, sometimes we do. God forbid that we do that. And when we've done it, let's repent and say, God, forgive me. And where I am today, let me trust in the Lord. I don't know what's coming this week, neither do you. The Lord may come before we leave this meeting and we wouldn't have any of that to worry about. I know this, He is coming. His promise is to come. And when He comes, all is going to be well. And until He comes, all is going to be well. We sang, "It is well with my soul." Do we really believe that? I hope we do. Because if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances today, it was well with the Daniel in a den of lions. It was well with three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. It was well with the Hebrew children when they crossed through the Red Sea and the walls of water stood on each side and they went across dry shod. It was well when the Lord fed them with the water from the rock. He provides for His people and in His way at His time. And we can consistently say this, God will take care of you. I hope you're getting this point. If you miss everything else, know that. God's going to take care of you. And therefore, we are to deal with our adversary based on that knowledge. When the adversary comes, he's going to try to convince you in every way that he can that God won't take care of you, either that you don't belong to him, or either what he said is not true. And remember this about the devil. He's never told the truth. He's been a liar. He's the father of lies and a liar from the beginning. And that's the way he approached the Lord. I think about that old whipped boy when he left the Lord, though. You know, he was whipped thoroughly, wasn't it? The old devil was whipped. He had a lot of power God suffered him to have, but I'm telling you, he stood up to a strong man a lot stronger than he was, and he was bound by that strong man, and that was in the wilderness that occurred, and on the cross that really occurred, where all the forces were thrown at our Savior, and he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we have a victorious Savior. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. Let's be sober. That means don't be drunk. Don't let the world get you drunk. Don't get intoxicated with this world. Be sober minded. Doesn't mean you can't smile. I believe God's children ought to smile. We got more to smile for, more to be happy about. I'm telling you, joy to the world is a real thing that just isn't sung at Christmas time. It ought to be sung all the time because our Lord has come. Listen, we have a Savior worthy to be trusted in. Great is His faithfulness. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And we ought to be crying that aloud whether men like it or not. Giving Him the praise. That's our purpose for being here. And He says, be sober. When you do that, you're sober. You're sober-minded. You're thinking right. You're right. Your mind is not intoxicated with the ideas and the thoughts of this world. You're not wanting things that God hadn't given you. Have you ever spent some time wanting things that God never gave you? I've wanted some money sometimes that God never gave me. I'd like to be rich. Boy, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. God hadn't seen fit for that. And I'll tell you, it could be the worst thing that ever happened to me. I'll tell you, the true riches that He's allowed me to have is fellowship with Him. Sweet fellowship with God. Better to have a broken heart, to come to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins, and find peace and rest and joy in your soul, and to have a sweet hope of one day being with Him in glory, and a sweet promise that whatever comes, the Lord truly has been with me. And when I need direction, I can go to Him, and He gives me that. When I need to find out what to do, I can read His Word. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His Word directs me. Jesus, in all three of the temptations that He was faced with, always said, "It is written." He pointed to "It is written." He pointed to the Word. He used the sword of the Spirit. He pointed to the Word, which is the Word of God. It is part of our armor that we're to wear. We're to wear the sword of the Spirit. These verses, dear ones, can help you. You know they can help you. How many times have you been in a spot and you just didn't know and you felt overwhelmed and the Lord brought by His grace a verse to your mind that you've seen or heard before and you remember, oh, I remember what He said here, and it gives you direction. This is not just something that's preached from the pulpit and not applied, or it shouldn't be. It should be applied by God's little children. We should wear it on our feet, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should have it about our loins. Our loins go to bed with the truth. We should be carrying that shield of faith. That shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. That means don't get lazy about this. You got to beware of him. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he cannot take our eternal destiny. As a matter of fact, he couldn't touch Job until the Lord allowed him to touch him. Remember, he said, Job, he said, have you considered when the devil appeared before the Lord? And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Remember, the devil said, well, does Job serve you for no reason? You've got him hedged about. Isn't that wonderful? Do you believe God has his children hedged about? Oh, I do. I believe his protecting hand is right there. But he suffered Job to be tempted, and Job to suffer some things for his namesake. And sometimes God suffers us to face things in this world for his namesake and for his glory. And what we do is trust in the Lord and lean upon him and be with, like Job said, though he slay me, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to trust him. He says, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sometimes we feel like nobody, you know, like the old spiritual, nobody seen knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows all I've been going through. Nobody knows how many pains and problems that I've got. Sometimes when we're talking to one another, somebody say, how you doing? And by the time you finish, they kind of wish they hadn't asked you because you laid everything that's been wrong with you and all that's going on. And I've often said this, if we all laid our cards out on the table and we saw everybody else's cards, we'd probably pick up our own and walk off and be thankful that the Lord has been so good to us. What you want to understand is that every one of God's little children have hills and valleys, have problems and have troubles. And the old devil will come and say, if you're a child of God, you wouldn't be going through this. Know this, as sure as you're in this world, you shall suffer persecution. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of a good cheer, didn't he? He said, why? Because I've overcome the world, and in me you might have peace. And that peace passes all understanding. Again, sometimes he calms the sea, sometimes he takes us right through the troubled sea. Jesus could walk right on the troubled water. He did that. And as a matter of fact, he gave Peter the strength to walk on that same water. Peter said, if it is thee, Lord, bid me come. And he said, come. And Peter walked out on the water. And as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. As soon as he stopped looking at Jesus and looked at the troubled sea, that's when he went down. And I'm so glad the Lord didn't do like we do sometimes and just give up. When Peter cried, Lord, save me or I perish. And that's a fact. Jesus immediately reached down and lifted him up. What a great Savior that we have. You say, I've called on him and I don't hear him. You keep calling. You keep petitioning him. You keep trusting in him. You keep leaning on him. If you've called up, the only reason you could have ever called up is that he called down. And if he called down, it's because he loved you in covenant before the foundation of the world. And he's promised, he sent his son to die for you on the tree of the cross. And Jesus paid the sin debt in full. Every sin that we have ever committed was put on his wonderful body. And he bore it to the tree of the cross and paid that sin debt so that they would never be remembered against us anymore. And he secured our home in heaven. He also secured for us a pathway in this world of peace and rest and joy as we trust in him. And time is gone again. But he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God's children go through this. And I love verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace. Isn't it good to know we've got a God who has all grace? Every grace comes from him. He's the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory. How do we get the eternal glory? He called us unto it. Did he leave that in the hands of anyone else to do? No, he did that. He calls himself. He calls, you have a long distance call, a personal call. and an effectual call. He doesn't try to do it. He does it. He didn't try to save. He does save. He doesn't try to give life. He gives life. When He speaks to the dead live and the dead hear. That's what the dead hear, the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory, how? By Christ Jesus, not by us, by Him. After that ye have suffered a while. What does that mean? In this old world you're going to suffer a while. And the Lord knows how long that'll be, and you'll have that. He says, after that you have suffered a while, make ye perfect, that is, complete. Here in this world we can find a measure of that as we walk in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we'll not be completely perfect until He takes us out of this old troubled world and we'll be made altogether fashioned just like He is, body, soul, and spirit forever with the Lord. He said, establish you. He establishes us. He strengthens us. And I love this word. He settles us. Don't you get upset sometimes? Get all shook up. Well, the Lord comes and settles us. His truth settles us. His presence settles us. He settles you. And then verse 11. To Him, and that's what every word in the Bible is about. To Him be glory and dominion. How long? Forever and ever. And then closing with that, just an amen. So be it. To God be the glory, to His name, to His honor, and to His praise. Y'all have been very kind and attentive this afternoon. I appreciate that. Give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for any good thing that might have been said. We give Him that glory. Amen.
$149.